It is a vital thing to hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Then verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You'll never come to Christ. You'll never believe in the Lord unless you hear the gospel and unless you hear the word of God. People will never know God unless they hear the truth of God's word. And in James chapter 1, verse number 19, we were exhorted, "Be swift to hear." And Solomon, the great king of Israel, indicated that being a good hearer is vital whenever we come to the house of God. He said in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear." And this truth was endorsed by our Lord Jesus Christ, who seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, as he wrote to the seven churches, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." But our Lord Jesus Christ also spoke of the manner in which we are to hear the word of God. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 15 spoke about the seed of God's word falling upon good soil. And he says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." And it's important not only to hear the word, but it's vital that we keep the word, and that the word takes root in our hearts and lives, and we bring forth fruit unto God with patience. And James here, in James chapter 1, takes up this same theme. Verse number 18, he speaks about the word of God being instrumental in cultivating that new birth, being born again of his own will, begat he us with the word of truth. And then in verse number 19, he says, "Be swift to hear." And in verse number 21, he exhorts us to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. And it's evident whenever you read this epistle of James, that James, the brother of our Lord, both in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense, was a man of one book. James literally eats, breathes, and lives the word of God. In this little letter of just five chapters, James either quotes or makes allusions to or brings references from the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Job, 1 Kings, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel are all alluded to in the book of James. And he makes no less than 15 connections to the Sermon on the Mount. So James is a man that has full confidence in, belief in, and a desire to further the word of God in the hearts and minds of his hearers. But in these verses that we have considered and read this morning, James 1, 22 to 25, he deals with what I believe is one of the most prevalent problems in the church. That is, that we hear the word, and that's vital, but we don't do it. He says, "Be ye hearers of the word, and be ye doers of the word." He says both are vital, but he says if you merely hear the word, but you don't put it into practice in your life, he says you're only deceiving yourselves. And he takes up this theme of being a hearer but not a doer. Hearers only. Now, we thought about this subject a number of years ago on Tuesday night as we were going through the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel chapter 33 deals with the same subject at the end of the chapter. And it's one of the most prevalent problems in the church, that we sit in services like this, we hear the word of God read, we hear the word of God preached, but it does not change the way we live. And we somehow think it's enough just to listen. But we've no intention, perhaps, of putting into practice what the Lord says. Earlier on in our meeting, we were singing the words, "Channels only, blessed Master." But how often is it the case that we could rightfully sing, "Hearers only, blessed Master"? As we consider this subject this morning, there are a few simple things that I want you to notice about these verses that we have read together. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, first of all, speaks about a problem. The problem is highlighted in verse 22. "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now, this was a great problem, even in the church in the first century. And I believe it's a great problem in the church in our day as well. Merely hearing is a huge problem. If we only hear the word, but we don't put it into practice and we don't do what God is telling us to do, that is a major problem. You say, well, why is it such a problem? Well, three reasons why it's a great problem is because, first of all, it's quite simply disobedience. If you read your Bible and you read the New Testament especially, I believe it's taken for granted in the Scripture that the Christian is saved onto a life of obedience. Anybody can hear the Word of God, but only a Christian will have a desire to do the Word of God. And it's taken for granted that a Christian has been saved onto a life of obedience. Be ye doers of the Word. The Christian life, friends, is a very practical thing. Yes, there's faith, and yes, there's belief, and yes, there's trust, but at the same time, there needs to be obedience. The Bible talks as much about obeying the gospel as it does about believing the gospel. And the hymn writer said, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And it may be that you've been trying to live some sort of a Christian life, and you believe the truth, and you sit under the Word of God, and you take your place as a Christian, but you're miserable, and there's no joy, and there's no liberty, and there's no gladness, and there's no freedom in your life, because you're being pulled between two opinions. Yes, you want your sins forgiven. Yes, you want to know that your soul is saved. Yes, you want to know that you're going to heaven. But there's this whole problem about obedience. Well, friend, you'll never be happy in the Christian life unless you become a doer of the word, and as well as a hearer. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41 speaks about that great multitude in the day of Pentecost. And Peter has stood up and he has preached the word of God and brought Christ before the people. And it says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." So they heard the word, and then they responded by believing what was said, and also entered into a life of obedience. And the first thing they did was they were baptized. And then they followed on and they met together and they fellowshiped together and they listened to the word of God and they broke bread together and they prayed together and they entered into a life of obedience and usefulness and service for God. To fail to do is disobedience. And the Bible always gives a penalty for disobedience, even in the life of a Christian. You never can prove the delights of his love. Unto all on the altar you lay, for the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Obedience. We're told in the book of Samuel, chapter 15, 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. I heard a song recently, man singing that very verse, to obey is better than sacrifice. I want more than Sundays and Wednesday nights. To obey is better than sacrifice. I don't want your money. I want your life. And the Lord wants us to obey Him and to be doers of the word. You see, to be a hearer only is obedient or is disobedience, and to be a hearer only is also dangerous. Of course it is. You see, if God is an all-knowing God, and God asks us to do something, there's always a reason for it. The Scripture says His commandments are not grievous. That literally means that His commandments are good for us. And the reason God asks us to do certain things and tells us not to do certain things is because He knows what is best for us, and He wants what is best for us. Now, if you went to the doctor, and the doctor told you, here's your problem, this is what's causing the problem, this will be the outcome of the problem, and this is how the problem can be treated, and you leave the doctor's surgery and says, well, I'm glad I know what the problem is, I'm glad that the doctor was able to get to the root of the matter, and I'm glad that the problem can be dealt with, but you do not do what the doctor tells you to do, and you don't change your lifestyle, and you don't change your diet, and you don't put into practice the principles that the doctor's given you. What was the point hearing it all in the first place? You'll be no better. Same thing if a police officer alerts you to a danger. Maybe we've all come across this in our province, I'm sure, a bomb scare. And the police or the army come and they say, listen, we need to evacuate the area because there's a security alert. And you say, well, that's great. At least I know there's danger. And you just go on your merry way and you don't do what you've been told to do. You're in danger. And so it is with the Lord. He speaks to us through His word for a reason. And to merely hear but not obey is a very, very foolish and dangerous thing. In the book of Proverbs, God says in chapter 1 and verse number 24, because I have called, they heard the word of God, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Because ye have said it not all my counsel, and with none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity, and mock when your fear cometh. And He says, there's danger. But because you wouldn't listen really with the heart, you heard with the ears but didn't listen with the heart, He says there's danger ahead. There's judgment ahead. You see, to be a hearer only is disobedience. It's dangerous, but it's also very deceptive. James says in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Sometimes we convince ourselves that hearing is the same as doing. And we talk about prayer and we talk about the Christian life and we almost convince ourselves because we know the doctrine and we know the theology and we know what the Bible teaches that we're doing it whenever maybe we're only talking about it or hearing about it or understanding about it. There's nothing as deceptive as formalism. The Savior said concerning the Pharisees who knew it all, every jot and every tittle of the law of God, they had it all written in their minds. But He says, listen, He says, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And it's easy to listen. And sometimes we convince ourselves that it's just enough to hear, but it's very deceptive. And you might be in God's house this morning and you've never been born again and you've never been converted. You're not a Christian. and you hear the Word of God week after week after week, month after month, year after year. You're in God's house faithfully, religiously, listening to the Word of God, and you've almost convinced yourself, because you know the gospel and you know what the Bible teaches and you listen and you don't despise what you hear, that somehow that's enough. The Scripture says in the book of Hebrews, concerning a certain group of people in Hebrews chapter 2 and in the opening verses of the chapter, that the word preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith that ultimately leads to obedience. And I ask you this morning, is this your problem? You hear the word, but you don't put it into practice. You haven't yet come to Christ. You haven't yet trusted the Lord. Or even as a Christian, perhaps, not obeying the Lord in every aspect and area of your life. James indicates that this is a problem. But let us say something secondly about this problem. Its prevalence. It's a very common or prevalent thing. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about it. We read those verses earlier on in the book of Matthew. And chapter number 7, verse 24, as the Lord concludes this great sermon, he says in verse 24, Matthew 7, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he's like a wise builder who builds his house upon a rock. And then he says later on in the same chapter, verse number 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, is like a foolish builder who builds his house on the sand. So they're both in the same situation. They both hear the word. Some obey it and some don't. Some are hearers only. Some are hearers as well as doers. And in verse 21 he says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So folks, it's not all about what we say or what we hear. It's very often about what we do and how we live. In the parable of the sower, the Lord spoke about that seed that fell upon stony ground. And he says, this is like those who have got shallow hearts. And there's no lasting fruit. You see, it's a heart problem. It was prevalent in Christ's day. It was also a big problem in the nation of Israel. Isaiah 58 and verse number 2, the Lord says concerning the Israelite people at that juncture in history, 700 years before the Lord came, he says, they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in preaching unto God. But as you read on in the chapter, the problem is that they know all the truth, they listen to the truth, they come to God's house, but they never put into practice what they hear. Same problem in the days of Ezekiel. God spoke to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 30. Listen to these words. It's almost a carbon copy of our society today, the church-going society in Ulster today. Also, thy son of man, the children of thy people are still talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak to one another and every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. So you get the picture. It's like sitting in the house on a Saturday or a Sunday morning and saying, now let's go to God's house. Time to go to church. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Verse 31 says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and one that can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Now let's think about these people for a moment. They're orthodox. They're diligent in attending God's house. They enjoy hearing a bit of good preaching. They enjoy this preacher Ezekiel. He's got a pleasant voice. He's eloquent. He's enthusiastic. He's zealous. He delivers his soul every time he preaches. There's no doubt that this man believes what he's saying. He can put a sermon together. He can bring things out of the Word of God. And they love this. And they know the difference between truth and error. And if the preacher was to say anything heretical, they would be the first one to sound an alarm. And he says they love to come, they love to listen, they love to hear, they like a bit of good preaching. But he says, you know what the problem is, Ezekiel? They're not willing to do what I say to them. They have no intention of actually doing anything. It was also prevalent in the New Testament times as well. Do you remember Luke chapter 16, that rich man that was clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every single day? It came to pass that the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he began to cry unto Father Abraham, said, send Lazarus to my brother's house. He says, I've got five of them. Unless they also come to this place of torment, Abraham says, they have got Moses and the prophets. They've got the scriptures. Let them hear them. And it's evident that the rich man had got the scriptures as well. But the problem was for him and for his five brothers that they had the scriptures, they knew the scriptures, they believed the scriptures, but they weren't willing to do what the Bible said. And folks, it's prevalent in our day as well. I'm guilty of it. Perhaps you are as well. We put on a sanctimonious facade. We boast that we're a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. But yet, how often do we put into practice what the Lord says? We hear the word, but are we doers? Attending God's house, listening to sermons, will do absolutely nothing for you unless you put into practice what God says. You can attend all the meetings you like. It'll not make you one iota more spiritual unless we begin to put into practice what God says. Folks, attending meetings is not the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes I've heard it said, you know, oh, so-and-so's coming to the meetings and they're coming out to this and they're coming out to that. It's a wonderful sign, and it might be. But it's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's a prevalent problem. And then James, to illustrate the point of this problem and its prevalence, in verse 23 and 24, he gives us a picture. He says in verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face. And that little word phrase, natural face, literally means the face that he was born with, in a glass or in a mirror. And these Jewish people that James is writing to would know what James is getting at. You see, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, and then later on in the temple, the priest would have come to the brazen altar just within the courtyard, offered there a sacrifice. Then he went to a big piece of furniture that was called a laver, and it was full of water. And whenever he came to the laver, he washed his feet, and he washed his hands, he cleansed himself, and then he went into the holy place to have fellowship with God. And the interesting thing about the laver was, in the wilderness, it was made from the copper mirrors that the ladies had brought out of Egypt. And it was made of highly polished brass. It was just like a huge big mirror filled with water. And so the priest could look and he could see his face and he could inspect himself. And wherever there was something that needed cleansed or washed away, he could put his hands into that laver, that running water, that living water, and cleanse himself. And it's a picture of the Word of God. The mirror showed him what he was like. It shows us what we're like as well. And we can look into the mirror. And we can see what maybe needs to be put right. But if we look into the mirror and we see something that needs put right, maybe our hair needs fixed, maybe we need a shave, maybe we need to brush our teeth, maybe there's dirt on our face that needs to be washed away, and I think, well, very good, and we just go away and we don't change anything, what was the point looking into the mirror in the first place? And James says that's what we do sometimes. We come to the Word of God. The Word of God shows us what we're really like. It says the heart's deceitful. It says all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. It says from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there's no soundness in it, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores that have not been covered up, neither mollified with ointment. God says this is what we're like. And God says we can be cleansed, we can be forgiven. There's things we can put into our lives and put into practice that will help us to go on and to go through with God. But sometimes we just would rather move on quickly and not spend time in the Word because we're afraid of what it shows up. That's why a lot of people nowadays don't want to attend a gospel preaching church. And they don't want to hear anything about sin. And they don't want to hear anything about judgment or holiness or how God expects His people to live because they don't like it. Joel Osteen has the largest church in America. He's the pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. Boasts a membership of 43,500 people. The sanctuary holds about 17,000. They have 4 services a week. The man has written several books and he has made from his book sales alone an estimated $55 million. The house he lives in, worth $10.5 million. And everything he preaches, it's always positive. He never says anything negative. He doesn't use the word sin very often. He never talks about immorality or anything that's wrong. It's always just positive. Some of the books that he's written, titles like this, Become a Better You. You can and you will. Your best life now, 7 steps to living at your full potential. And then another book, It's Your Time. And virtually every book that he has written has the personal pronoun, you, your, so on. It's all about you, how good and how brilliant we are. The prosperity gospel has this Colgate smile, perfect hair, great suits, and all the rest of it. And he never says anything negative. And it's no wonder that people flock to hear him. But if we come to the Word of God as it is, and it shows us what we are, very often we don't like what we see. And the picture that James is giving here is one of formalism. You look into a mirror, shows us what needs to be changed, but we don't do it. It's just a matter of format. And we can come to the house of God, we can come to your Bibles or daily readings, and yet it's just formalism. And the word beholding there in verse number 23, beholding his natural face in the glass, that word beholding literally means to have a quick and a casual glance. Just to look quickly, but not study too deeply. Haphazardly or carelessly, look into the mirror, and lest we see something that we don't like, we quickly look away and get back to doing what we're doing before. And we can read our Bibles like that. We just quickly read through it. We tick off the reading and say, well, I've read my Bible for the day, but did we hear God's voice? We come to God's house fleetingly, unprepared, with unprepared hearts. And then James indicates another problem, forgetfulness. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and immediately straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Can I ask you this morning, did you read your Bible during the week? I hope that you did. And if you did, what did God say to you? Forgotten. What did God say to us last Lord's Day in God's house? Forgotten. What has God been saying to us all this last year? Kind of forgotten. But still we come to God's house formally. And we listen to the Word of God. And if the preacher went off kilter and began to preach something heretical, we would cry out against that. But are we willing to do what God says us to do? And the last thought under this point is futility. Think of it. What's the point? Just to hear the Word of God, but not to do. You can sit in a church, but that's not spiritual. A mouse could sit in this church and receive no more blessing than you do. Whenever I was in Bible college, I remember there was a small problem for a number of weeks with mice. We were sitting in one of the lecture and a few mice come out from this old dusty pedal organ and began zipping about the floor of the college. I remember one ran over the top of my shoe. And the fellow beside me, he put the socks up over the outside of his trousers and put his feet up on the chair. And there they were. The mice were in the Bible college. Didn't make them any more spiritual. They were there in the lectures. They heard what the lecturer was saying. And they just went on, didn't change their nature. And we can be exactly the same. We're in God's house, we've got a pulse, we've got ears and eyes and hands and feet, but does it change, friends, the way we're living? Obedience, that's the acid test. Notice the last thing, verse 25, we've thought about the problem, the prevalence, the picture, verse 25, the practice. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice here this practice, how the word of God is described. It's described as the perfect law of liberty. The scripture says ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, having a Bible in your home, having a Bible in your hand, having the word of God in your head will not set you free. It only becomes the perfect law of liberty whenever it's obeyed and be put into practice. What God says, his commandments are not grievous. We sang the psalm earlier, Psalm number 1, and it talks about that blessed man. And it says he delights in the law of God. And he meditates on the law of God. And he walks according to the law of God. And the word of God governs his life. And what's the result? He's blessed. He's happy. He's got joy. He's got contentment. He doesn't just hear, but he becomes a doer. Now notice a few things about this practice. I think it speaks of diligence. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Remember we said in verse 23 and 24, the word beholdeth just denotes a fleeting glance. Well, the words there, looketh into, in the original context, mean to attentively, penetratingly, carefully, earnestly, intently, studiously, look into the Word of God. It literally means to study the law and the Word of God and to dig into it and to take time to discover what is God really saying to me here. And looking into with the view of applying it to your hearts and lives. That's why Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And whenever we dig deep into the Word of God and we study and we look into it and we put it into practice, we'll not be ashamed. But we'll be thankful that God has spoken to your hearts. We're told that outside and around about the city of Johannesburg in South Africa, there are at least 55 gold mines. And some of the shafts in those gold mines are up to 12,000 feet deep. And some of the miners will go in and they'll extract up to 4 tons of ore to get just 1 ounce of pure gold. And it takes work. And they have to go down deep. And they have to extract tons of ore to get 1 ounce of gold. And the psalmist said that God's word is much more to be desired than a fine gold. And yet so often we just behold it lightly. And yet God says we need to dig deep and we need to get the gold out and that which is precious to your hearts and to your souls. So there's diligence. And then the second thing James says about the practice is there must be continuance. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Christian life is a race. And tragically today, many people seem to be dropping out of this race. And they no longer want to run with Christ and for Christ. And they've no longer got their eyes upon the prize. And they're dropping out and they're turning back. And they don't want to go on with God. And that's a very real temptation. I can remember as a teenager, first job that I had, having left college, I was about 17 or 18 years of age, tasting of the things of this world, struggling as a Christian, embracing things that I promised myself I would never embrace before. And I can remember a man that worked in the machine in front of me. And every Thursday we got our pay slip. And that was the night where most of the lads that drank and partied would go out, they'd go to the off license, they'd go to the pub. And this man was, I suppose back then, into his late 40s, early 50s, and he would stand at the machine in front of me and he would talk about things. He would say, "Do you ever get really depressed?" I remember him saying that to me one day, stand working on me, just turned around. He says, "Do you ever get really depressed?" And then he would go home on Thursday nights. He'd go to the off license because his partying days, they were all over. And all of his friends and fellows that he ran about with, they'd all get married, but he still had a taste for the drink. And he used to go out Thursday night down to the off license, 10 glass bottle of vodka, 2 liter bottle of Coke, mix the two together, drink the whole thing, go to bed drunk, get up the next morning hungover, sometimes come into the workplace still drunk. And you know something, folks, that used to terrify me. And I would look at that man and think to myself sometimes, what causes that? He doesn't get any enjoyment out of it. And I thought, that could be me. Here's me and I'm running about with my mates. We're having a great time. We think we are anyway. But probably I'll get a couple of years out of this at best. And then some of the lads will move away. Others will get married. I might meet somebody myself. Partying days will be over. But if I get hooked and addicted to this stuff, what's going to be the end of it? And I realized that the only way to be happy is to continue and to follow on with Christ and not to throw the towel in and give up on God. Diligence, continuance. Then there's also remembrance and not being a forgetful hearer. We can often forget what God says. How do we remember what God says? We'll go over it several times. Sometimes my wife, Elaine, says to me, whenever you're announcing the hymns, you seem to announce every hymn number about 5 times. Why do you do that? And I says, because whenever I'm sitting in the pew, if the hymn's only announced once or twice, it doesn't sink in with me. Especially if it's during the announcements, because that's whenever I switch off, and then we'll sing number 406, and then everybody gets up to sing. I thought, what number is everybody singing off here? And the only way I can seem to get things into this thick head of mine is to go over it again and again and again and again. Whenever we were in Bible college, some of the lads could go through some of the paradigms in the Greek and the Hebrew, look over it once or twice, get the picture there, and they could remember it, same with their catechisms and their Bible verses. And here's me sitting up to the clouds tonight, writing each one out about 50 or 60 times. That's the only way I seem to be able to retain anything, is to go over it again and again and again. And some people think, I have to read through the Bible once or twice every year, but you don't retain it. Just keep going over it. Take notes. Write it down. Repeat it. Remember what God has said. Diligence, continuance, remembrance, obedience, a doer of the word. But then there's also recompense, because it says at the end of verse 25, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God says, I'll reward this man, or this woman, or this young person who not only hears the word, but does it. They'll be blessed. I'll honor them. I'll reward them. I'll lead them. I'll guide them. I'll provide for them. They'll be blessed in their deed. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, if you do it with a view to God's honor and God's glory, whether it's setting up a home, entering into a relationship, getting a job, going to college, university, getting involved in the work of the church, if you're doing it for God's honor and for God's glory, God says you'll be blessed in that deed. But folks, if we forget what God has said and we don't do what God has said, God's blessing can't rest upon us. Many's a person has entered into married life, relationships, and so on and so forth, and they haven't employed the principles of God's word to that situation. And it ends in heartache. It ends in misery. And then sometimes the problem is they point the finger at God and say, why did God allow this to happen? Well, God might say back to us, listen, you heard the word, but you didn't do it. How did you expect to be blessed in your deed? There's scarcely anything more profitless than being a hearer only. We've all heard God's word this morning. Some of you have heard it from your childhood days. Some of you have heard the gospel many times. Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you obeying Christ today? Are you walking with the Lord? I trust that God will help us to be doers and not just hearers. We'll sing a verse or two of number 467, please. Hymn 467. And we'll just sing the first verse and the last verse, verse 1, verse 5, 467, standing as we sing. Think about the words of verse 5 especially. Then fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. What He says, we will do. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's stand together, 467, verse 1 and verse 5.